Warriors, come out and play!
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein!
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, episode 7 of the Geek Speak podcast over at geekspeak.typepad.com. Got a great show lined up for you today here on Geek Speak. Plenty of lovely information coming in on the tech side of things. We, of course, have the brand new version of Firefox out right now that's been blazing across the internet ever since it came out. This is, of course, Firefox Build 1.5, the first release candidate released by Mozilla. Gonna get in depth on that and the brand new features you can expect to find here. Also, some nice little additions to Firefox you can do to ease your transition over to 1.5 a little better. Get yourself a review of that nice little pitch that I did at the beginning of the show there. The Warriors movie and, of course, the Warriors game. Oh, yeah. Plenty of fun right there. Brand new Rockstar game coming out on Warriors, the old 1970s gang film based here in New York City. Geeking out at all the lovely spots they hit in that. And also want to talk about the fact that the PSP has officially been hacked to allow every single type of video onto the PSP. Yeah, every single type. So all that things that you weren't able to put onto a PSP before, well, now's the time to finally get in there and use it. Oh yeah, you know I'm loving it. But start things off, of course, with the Firefox 1.5 discussion. This was just released only a day back, basically. Yeah, pretty much. Now, the main thing about this brand new build of Firefox are the stability changes, which everybody's been waiting for here with Firefox 1.5. Now, first of all, best addition to the Firefox build, I must say so far, a nice little addition in the tools menu. When you go into the tools menu, there's a nice little drop down there that allows you to clear your cache or your cache, whichever way you like to pronounce it. And of course, the nice simple things like your history and your saved passwords and all that, all in nice, easy steps. Oh, yeah. Everybody loves that. See, once upon a time, you used to have to go into the tools and go all the way into options. It's nice because I have an old version of Firefox loaded right here on this computer, so I can actually see what you used to have to do. You used to have to go into privacy. Piracy? Well, that'd be an interesting tab. Go into the privacy tab. I still have trouble saying it. Let's say one more time. The privacy tab. That's better. And you used to have to first clear the history, clear the saved form information, clear the saved passwords, clear the download manager history, clear the cookies, and clear the cache. And it took a lot of time and a lot of frustration to actually get in there and make sure every single bit of your Firefox was cleared. Because, well, you might have been going to some sites you don't want your mother to find out about. I'm not even going to mention what they could possibly be. Let's leave that up to the imagination, folks. But yeah, it was a bit of a hassle. But with Firefox 1.5, much easier to do. And I, for one, am absolutely loving that. Also, it appears that the memory leak that was prevalent throughout the past couple versions of Firefox has now been fixed. I say that because, well, I haven't been having any troubles. So far, so good. Now, it used to be every single time that I would start up my Firefox, whenever I try to download anything, Firefox would pretty much freeze on me for a while. And not really something I wanted to enjoy or put up with. With Firefox 1.5, that seems to pretty much be changed. And I'm very, very happy about that. Now, another addition to Firefox that used to have an extension to do this, but the times have changed indeed. Latest addition to Firefox when you go into, when you right click and you go into customize, I'm sure everybody has done this a couple of times here while using something like Firefox, and you find that new tab emblem and you add that to your nice little Firefox, you'll actually be able to take a site and drag it onto that toolbar and open up a brand new window in Firefox. Nice and handy. You know, I mean, it's a nice little addition there. I mean, it's small things like this that really make me happy that Firefox is actually improving itself as opposed to some of the other browsers out there, like that I'll rename nameless, like, okay, fine, I'll name it Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer, the latest build of Internet Explorer coming out, is going to have some of the lovely additions that you've seen in Firefox, like tabbed browsing and all that, but it's still not going to have any of the security that Firefox has. That's a problem, folks. You can put all these additions into Internet Explorer, you can make it look as pretty as you want, but if your spyware still ends up on your computer, then you're kind of screwed. So don't use Internet Explorer, no matter how nice it looks. Stick with Firefox, stick with Opera, stick with Safari, stick with anything other than Internet Explorer, and you'll probably be better off. But anyway, a lot of other additions there on Firefox as well. Now, some people might be a bit squeamish about switching over to Firefox 1.5 right now, mainly because there are certain additions to Firefox that make it incompatible with past extensions. I'll name some offhand because I do have some of these extensions on my computer. The autocopy extension, which allowed you to simulate everybody who has IRC as their chat client, I'm sure as everybody has used their autocopy addition every now and then. You know, nice and simple, you just highlight some text and it's automatically in your clipboard. Well, there was a extension for Firefox which allowed you to do just that inside Firefox, which was a major handy addition there. But it would not work with Firefox 1.5. Download them all, or down them all, no matter what you want to call it. That was not working. And that one is an extension that allows you to download multiple files from a website at once very, very easily. It opens up, doesn't even take much system memory, and makes sure that you're able to get what you want from a website when you want it. And that was having problems with 1.5. The remove an item from the history extension was not working, and there were a couple of others. So I was a bit upset there, and also Session Saver wasn't working at first, but Session Saver has updated itself to be 1.5 compliant now, so everything's all safe with that. Session Saver is one of my favorite extensions. It allows you to close Firefox even when it freezes, and it will reopen with every single tab you had opened on your Firefox back as good as new. So wherever you were going on the internet, you can just snap right back to it when you close your browser, which is a major, major addition to Firefox that I've been using for a while now, and luckily it's back up. Adblock is back up. There's Flashblock, which is back up as well, and a whole bunch of other additions, but there are still some that do not work. Well, I've got a nice little extension here that will save you some of the hassle. And this is coming out from a guy in the UK. It's an extension called Nightly Tester Tools. Now, this is straight from the website over at users.blueprint.co.uk. Nightly Tester Tools is an extension that adds a few extra useful additions to Firefox and Thunderbird and the application suite for Mozilla. This extension now works on branch builds of Firefox and Thunderbird. Features include allowing yourself to install incompatible extensions, which means, yeah, all those extensions that you used to use on Firefox back in the 1.0 stages, you might very well still be able to use on Firefox come 1.5 now. Now, I use that to reactivate, autocopy, and download them all, and so far, so good. I haven't really come into any troubles. Autocopy is working exactly the way it should, as is down them all. Now, if there were any problems that did occur, I'd let you guys know. In fact, actually, you know what? One thing that I'm going to mention, don't use it to save your themes, because chances are your themes are going to be very, very messed up. I tried using it. There's one theme that I used to use on my Firefox called Abstract PC, which was one of the premier themes for Firefox for a while there, but it no longer is supported for the PC. They're only going with the Mac version now, and I wanted to keep my Firefox version for Windows, because obviously I have a Windows build. Abstract Mac wouldn't really do much help there. So I tried to activate the extension. Didn't really work so well, so I ended up just deleting Abstract PC, and I'm going with a different skin theme for Firefox now, and it looks very, very nice. Emulates the Macintosh feel of Firefox very, very nicely, and I'm enjoying that a lot. So yeah, don't use it for themes. It does work for extensions. Give them a shot, and if the extension doesn't work, worst comes to worst, you delete it, and it's all good. The extension also allows you to force the application to believe an extension is compatible with the current version, as I just mentioned. It adds a menu item to let you copy the build identifier to the clipboard. It adds a menu item to let you insert the build identifier to the current text box. Adds a toolbar button to let you insert the build identifier into the current text box, not supported in the application suite, Mozilla. Provides an easy way to launch TalkBack, and lets you customize the title bar to include the build identifier and other information. Build identifier, of course, being Nightly Tester Tools. So yeah, the latest update is version 0.7.9.10, which just came out on October 13th, 2005, and that is completely Firefox 1.5 compliant, and will also use with the 2... I believe it also works with the beta for 2.0, which I haven't actually tried yet because I'm just sticking with 1.5 right now because it seems to be working very, very well. But that will be a nice addition for people who really don't want to have to first open up the extension and change the model number just to get something to work. That could be a real hassle sometimes. So Nightly Tester Tools plus Firefox 1.5, major, major happiness involved. I'll talk about another extension for Firefox that you guys should probably look into right after I play this handy dandy tune. So yeah, lately I have been pretty much Firefox extension crazy, mostly because they've been getting better and better lately. Been finding a lot of nice things to add on to my Firefox. Now, one extension that I found a while back was an extension that allows you to very easily open up a page into Internet Explorer that was possibly not compliant with Firefox. You know, it's pretty fun. You used to be able to just right-click, go down to open in IE, and it would automatically open that page in Internet Explorer, good as new. Which was, you know, a nice addition. But it's still, you know, I don't like opening up Internet Explorer when I don't have to. Well, there's an extension out right now for Firefox, which allows you to do it much easier, much faster, and much less hassle involved. And this is the IE tab for Firefox. Now, IE tab 1.03... currently out for Firefox 1.0 to 1.5 on Windows, allows you to open up a tab, yeah, not even just a window, a tab, inside Firefox that is an Internet Explorer browser. So any website that you go to, like for instance, yeah, you can pretty much say this, Microsoft Update. Microsoft Update makes you use Internet Explorer as your web browser because they're mean like that. They make you use Internet Explorer. And what are you going to do? With this extension, you can actually set it so that each and every time you go to Microsoft's update page, it will automatically open up a tab inside Firefox of an Internet Explorer window that will allow you to open up Microsoft Update. This is just amazing. I am so happy about this right now. This comes straight from the addons.mozilla.org page for IE tab. Developers' comments are that it's a great tool for web developers since you can easily see how your web page displays in IE with just one click and then switch back to Firefox. About the security issue, IE is not loaded all the time. Only after you switch browser engine explicitly or add the website you trust to the whitelist is Internet Explorer opened. So the security hole can be minimized. Besides, IE itself cannot access anything in Firefox. So yeah, you're not really going to have to worry too much about Internet Explorer installing things onto your computer while it's open. And besides, you're not really going to be using Internet Explorer too often, probably. It is a fun tool for web developers who would like to see how their page looks in other browsers, and it's a much, 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 much better way for the regular PC user to open up a brand new window when you have to. And especially considering that it's already 1.5 compliant, well, this is probably going to be an extension that I use way into the future, because I hate Internet Explorer. I can't stress that enough, folks, honestly. Microsoft has really pissed me off with Explorer. Now, see, I was really hoping that the next build of Internet Explorer would possibly make it a little better, but like I said, it's just going to be for fun and games. They're not going to go with any of the security standards that have been set by other browsers. They're just going to try and put a better browser out there. Now, even if it's a better browser, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to get a better product. Because like I said, if you still get stuff downloaded onto your computer that you don't want, what is the point? But then again, there are going to be those websites that are stubborn and make you use Explorer. And with this extension here, you no longer have to worry about going into your start menu, going to programs, opening up Internet Explorer, waiting for it to load, copying the website from Firefox, pressing paste, waiting for it to load, and then going about your business. No more. Now it just opens up in a tab like normal, and it'll just happen to be an Internet Explorer tab. And all is right with the world. Except for the fact that it's open in Explorer, but what are you going to do? Some other extensions that I use regularly on Firefox. Might as well go through my list right now. The tab browser extensions are a very, 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 very good extension for Firefox that allows you to get further tab browser preferences, that is, not a tab browser extension. Tab browser preferences allows you to enhance the control of some of the aspects of tab browsing. A lot of these features have been integrated into 1.5, but there are still a couple that are not in 1.5 that you can get through tab browser preferences. And of course, the best, and I mean best, extension out there for Firefox, just because of how handy it is. It is by far the most useful extension that I have used. Saves so much time. It's called Foxy Tunes. With Foxy Tunes, you can actually go through all of your media players and just control them with a nice little tab, not even a tab, a nice little bar on the bottom of your Firefox, which will allow you to use your Windows Media Player, your iTunes, your Real Player, whatever your player of choice is, you'll be able to control it from the bottom of your screen. Obviously, Adblock I mentioned before, Flashblock, nice little addition there as well, and FasterFox, which enhances your Firefox to make it even faster than it would be on a regular basis. So a whole bunch of upside on the extension side of Firefox. Now on the theme side, well, like I said, I just lost my favorite theme to outdatedness, but what are you going to do? Abstract PC was the theme that I was going with for a long time now, and for those of you who do have Macintosh, you can still use it, but obviously I don't have Macintosh, so I can't use it, but what are you going to do? There is a very, very nice theme that I use now that emulates a nice old-fashioned Macintosh Firefox experience. If I can actually find it right now, I will tell you about it. Let's see here. No, it's not iFox. Yes, you get to actually hear real-time what I'm trying to find. Oh, yeah. You guys love it, don't you? Let's see here. I'll find it. But anyway, this one gives it sort of that airbrushed look that you get with the Macintosh version of Firefox, which I've always really liked, I gotta say. It's always looked a bit sleeker to me than what it looks like on Windows. I mean, they try to make it a bit too colorful, I think, on Windows. That's why I like to skin it. I like to make it look a little more streamlined, I guess. Make it feel a little more natural. I mean, on Firefox, okay, here we go. Yeah, it's brushed. That's the one that I've been using lately. Brushed absolutely emulates the Firefox experience for Macintosh perfectly, I gotta say. And yes, it's compliant with everything up to Deer Park, which is 1.5, and I'm absolutely loving that. Like I said, it gives it a brushed over look, the Macintosh feel, even has the Macintosh buttons and Macintosh little extension placeholders. So I will certainly give that a high recommendation. Now, I was using SaferFox for a while, but that sort of started wearing on me. It was a nice-looking theme until they started tweaking it a little bit, and it just wasn't nearly as what I was looking for anymore. But yeah, Firefox, you can make your Firefox into anything you want it to be, as opposed to a browser like, oh yeah, Internet Explorer, where you're pretty much stuck with the original build. Opera is another very, very good browser out there that I would recommend, and now that it is completely adless, I would certainly recommend it. Absolutely free now, no more pay version. And Safari, another good one out there. I've never used Safari, so I wouldn't be able to tell you about it, but I've heard good things about it. So there's plenty of other browsing opportunities out there other than Internet Explorer. So I'm hoping that people out there who are hearing this that have not switched over to either Firefox or Opera will do so now. Because Firefox is just getting better and better with every build, and Internet Explorer is way, and I mean way, behind the times. So I got my first email. Yay, woohoo. Yeah, I got my first email from a buddy of mine who I've known since high school, who currently goes to Brooklyn College, works over at the library in Brooklyn College, and I see him every now and then. Nice guy named Anthony Cho, and I knew him over at Morrow, my old high school, and now I know him here. And he sent me the first GeekSpeak email. Oh, yeah. And once again, the email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. And the number here over at the web stream is 718-951-4444. That's 718-951-4444. And anybody who's hearing this, by the way, now it's from 6 to 7, the web stream version of GeekSpeak, that is. And those of you who are listening to the podcast version, chances are you're probably not going to be able to hear the web stream for the next couple of weeks. We've been having problems with the web stream's volume, and it's been all over the map. Right now, it's so low where you're probably going to have to turn up your speakers all the way just to hear us, and that's sort of a hassle. So, you know, anybody who does actually want to call in from 6 to 7 on a Thursday can do so. I'll be more than happy to take your call. But you're probably not going to be able to hear me on the web stream, so it's pretty much going to be playing it by ear, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But anyway, here's the email I got from Anthony Cho. Hey, Ian, it's me, Anthony. I was just listening to GeekSpeak Episode 5, in which I discussed these video players, and besides the PSP and video iPod that will play video, there was also a Creative's new MP3 video player called the Zen Vision, which supports DivX and AVI and etc. You can take a look at it at their website. Now, I have it up here at CambridgeSoundworks.com. Thanks to the glory, glory, glory that is Google. I'm going to give you a little description here of this brand new Zen system, the Creative Zen Vision. Creative Zen Vision 30 GB Multimedia Center It's bound to impress anyone who wants to carry all their digital entertainment files, tens of thousands of photos, up to 120 hours of video, and 15,000 songs everywhere. Nice specs. Now, they say it's the premier MP3 player. Again, there'll be plenty of people who doubt that. It's got a 3.7-inch SharpPix high-resolution 262,144 color screen with transflective technology. Makes photos look almost as good as or even better than the real thing. Again, that's up for debate, but they like to say that as a selling point, even in bright sunlight. ZenVision is not only lightweight and slim, beneath its classy magnesium casing are features that will fulfill all your digital entertainment needs. Interesting enough. Now, I'm looking at the picture here of this product, and I gotta say, it is very slimline. I mean, it does look nice and sleek. It's got a huge screen for the size of it. It's not much bigger than the screen, honestly. Width is not too bad. Got a nice headphone jack on the side, so shouldn't break too easily. Although, Zen has had problems with that in the past. A friend of mine, Marvin, hosted the Redshift soon-to-be podcast, which you'll be able to find, I believe, at redshift.tv once it's up and running, but that'll be a couple of weeks from now. He had a Zen Micro, and the problem with the Zen Micro was that it had a loose headphone jack, where after a couple of weeks of wear and tear, you would end up with no way to listen to your music. So that sort of defeats the point now, doesn't it? But hopefully they fix that flaw with this brand new Zen here. And, I mean, I gotta say, yeah, it does look nice and sleek. It is a major bonus that it does play Avi and DivX, because that is always a selling point. Because a lot of people don't want to have to first download other versions of these shows that they've had for years on their hard drive. I mean, most people have found Avi's and DivX files of shows for years now. And not even the illegal stuff, but the legitimates as well. I mean, sure, for a while now, places like System and Dignation have been offering a H.264 download, but they also have an Avi version, and a lot of people usually choose that Avi version. Obviously not as many these days. But, again, it's certainly a good thing that it plays those DivX and Avi features. Now, it's going to have some competition as well, because a brand new app has just been released for the PSP, which will allow the PSP to play Avi and DivX, which is a major, major bonus. They call it the PSP Advance, not the Game Boy Advance, the PSP Advance, and it will allow you to play pretty much all video files on your PSP. Before that, you were limited to MP4s, pretty much. Now you can play Avi, MPEG, MPEG 2, obviously MP3s, because you were able to do that before, and QuickTime on your PSP. Now, is this going to stop people from buying something like a Creative Zen Vision? Possibly. Now, the Creative Zen Vision, $399.99, which is not exactly too much of a selling point on its own, I got to say. Because as I look up the PSP, the price of a PSP, you can find a PSP at Best Buy. Excuse me, Best Buys and Game Consoles. Not exactly the most legit company, but you can find that for $217. Ooh, and you can buy a Nintendo 64 console new for $95, but yeah, that's probably not what most people are going to end up doing. So you can find a decently priced PSP for about half the price. Well, not half the price, about $100 less than what you can find a Zen Vision for. And now you can play these Avis and MPEGs on your PSP. And don't forget PlayStation Portable games. Because you can't play games on a Zen Vision. Now, it does have a hard drive in it, so obviously it does have a hard drive. And built-in FM radio and recorder. The Zen Vision does. So, I mean, that is a pretty good feature to have. Here's all the tech specs for you. It's 4.9 by 2.9 by 0.79. That's height, width, and depth. 3.7-inch SharpPix high-resolution screen, as I said before. So 3.7-inch screen and 4.9-inch width. Not too shabby, I gotta say. Comes with a case. Like I said, 30 gigabyte storage capacity. And up to 13 hours of continuous audio playtime. Now, again, 13 hours of continuous audio playtime, that can be a bit up in the air as to how much that actually means. Because how many times have you been playing something on a portable player that's supposed to last about 12 hours, and 8 hours in, you have no more batteries? Happens every now and then. USB 2.0, backwards compatible with USB 1.1. Obviously, like I mentioned, plays MPEG 1.2.4 and SP, Windows Media TV, which is WMV, Motion JPEG, DivX, and XVID. Audio playback format, MP3, WMA, and WMA with DRM. Now, see, that is important there, because a lot of WMAs with DRM will not play on other formats. For instance, an iPod. You can't put a WMA onto an iPod. You can convert it to MP3, but that's only with non-DRM versions of WMAs. Now, you can also, in fact, I'm going to see if I can find this right now, as I just found this out this past weekend, actually. There is an MP3 to WMA recorder. In fact, actually, yeah, here we go. The advanced MP3 to WMA recorder, which will allow you to record your WMAs into MP3 form through your sound card. So you'll be able to actually convert those. And the sound quality on these are pretty good, I gotta say. They're pretty close to the original. But again, you first gotta actually go through that process. Here with the Zen Vision, you're just going to be able to play those WMAs right offhand. Nice feature. Photo format, got to be JPEG. No PNG or GIF. Only JPEG here. But that's to be expected. Signal-to-noise ratio up to 97 decibels. Not too shabby. Frequency response, 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. Kilohertz, what the? Kilohertz. And the audio output is a 3.5mm stereo mini jack with a built-in speaker. And it syncs with and views Microsoft Outlook contacts, calendars, and tasks. Works on Windows XP, but I don't see a listing for Macintosh. So that's strike one against this. Because there are plenty of people out there that would probably want this that would not be able to use it. Yeah. Doesn't mention anything about having Macintosh compatibility. So that's a bit of a problem there. But again, most Macintosh users will probably end up with an iPod anyway. So there you go. So thanks a lot, Anthony, for giving me the information on that. Now, he also had a comment about why he feels Apple will not be using DivX format, and I sort of agree with this. Another thing I believe is that if Apple were to make the video iPod to support DivX, they would be screwed because everyone would just BitTorrent their shows instead of just buying from iTunes. Keep up the work. Talk to you later. Yeah, I do agree with that. But again, as an individual that I am, I would very much like to have it play XVIDs anyway because, yeah, I would be pirating content for that. I have to admit it. Sorry, guys. But I think everybody would probably end up doing that. And there are people that are already trying to do that. And that's why this PSP Advance came out because, hey, you couldn't play XVID and Navi on PSP until now. And now it's all good. That's why there's also downgraders from 2.0 to 1.5 for PSP. Because people still want to be able to play their homebrews. Piracy is in. Whether people like it or not. It's not going away, folks. If you just give in and admit that people like watching their shows in whatever format they can watch them in, well, then you'll probably end up selling a few more units. Isn't that more important? Doesn't that make you money? I would certainly think so. Now, any of my viewers out there, if anybody, viewers, listeners, happen to have a creative Zen Vision and are pleased with it, certainly send me an email. Let me know, because I'm interested to see what this player can actually handle and if it does hold up to the task of being compared to something like a PSP or an iPod Video. iPod Video still has a long way to go. PSP has been the norm, and it's probably going to be the norm even more now that you can play Xvids and Obbies on it. But at least there's other options out there for those people who can't stand Sony or Apple. So I figured I'd go a little somber since I'm going to talk some insanity right now. Figured to myself, why not, you know? I'll freak him out a little bit. Play something nice and soft and then talk about the Warriors. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta love it. Now, anybody who's a fan of cheesy 70s movies, you gotta see The Warriors. The Warriors is all about a group of New York gangs who get together and try and unify themselves as an army to take over New York. But as soon as they do, the man who rallied them there to begin with, good old Cyrus, gets shot. And the Warriors get blamed. And then the entire city is after the Warriors. Can you dig it? Sorry, I had to. Now, this is so much fun, I gotta say. I mean, watching Warriors. Now, being from New York, I know so many of the areas that they go through in this movie. They start off in Coney Island. First shot of the movie, beautiful shot, I gotta say. Of the Wonder Wheel at night, where you just see those cars just going around. And you see a couple of lights, and that's it. See the Wonder Wheel all lit up like it is. But that's all you see. Nice image there. And I got to see also what the subway lines used to be back in the 70s. Now, in New York, they've cleaned them up a lot. And I mean a lot. Since the 70s. I mean, back in the 70s, the trains were graffitied. The seats were graffitied. The people were graffitied. Okay, maybe not. I mean, everything was a mess. Crime was up. Gangs were, well, raging war. And things were just not too pleasant. Now, things have gotten much better over the years, I gotta say. I mean, living here in New York, I've never gotten mugged. Probably one of the lucky ones, but yeah, I've never gotten mugged. Never really had too many crimes happening around me. But the New York that you see in the Warriors is a very different place. And the Warriors are a very different group of people, I gotta say. And yet, I still know this subway line, and I still know these places, so I was geeking out over the entire thing, as were the people I was with watching a movie. Now, why would I watch this out of the blue? Old 70s cheesy movie. Well, I'm glad you ask. Because Rockstar just came out with the Warriors video game. Oh, yeah. Warriors. Rockstar Games. Now, they got so many of the original actors to come back and voice their characters. This is so much fun, I gotta say. Those people they could not get, either because they were dead or because they didn't want to be a part of the project, they got great actors to come in and voice them who were pretty similar to the original voices. Like, you would not be able to tell the difference. Like, one actress, that is, that died, the original actress that played the radio host on The Warriors. She died of a brain hemorrhage. As I look up her name right now. Lynn Thigpen, who many of you might know from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego as the Chief. Now, she died of a brain hemorrhage, and obviously she could not be in the movie because she died. Died in 2003. So she could not be in the game, actually, that is, because she died. But they got a very, very good person to come in who sounded a lot like her to voice the character. Now, the game does not just span the length of the movie, because if it did that, it'd be over in 2 hours. Instead, it starts about 6 months back, and you get to see what led up to that fateful day where Cyrus got shot. You get to find out all about the backstory of the Warriors, and you get to beat up some homeless people, which is always fun. Yeah, I'm not usually a proponent for the games where you go run around beating up people, but I'll make an exception here because this game was so much fun. And this was the first Rockstar game I actually played, mind you. I didn't play any of the Grand Theft Autos. They just really never struck me. I don't know why they didn't, because I'm a gamer to an extent. I just really never got into any of that type of thing. But I gave it a shot here with Warriors, and I was much impressed. The game mechanics are very easy to pick up, very, very fun, and most of all, perfect likenesses of the actual people who played these characters in the movie. Now, I've seen graphics before of Rockstar games, and I was never impressed. Honestly, they really need to get better graphics engines because they used to look ugly, period. I mean, you were sitting there and you were like wondering, is that PlayStation 2 or is that PlayStation? I mean, San Andreas got a little better, but still, they were using the same old crummy engine and it really did not really enhance things too much. But here with Warriors, they went with a brand new engine and a brand new set of ideas. Now, when you're hurt, you got to find yourself a dealer and get yourself this drug, which gives you a power-up, which is always fun. You're tagging a bunch of things in the game also, so you gotta actually practice your graffiti skills so you can tag other gangs' stuff along the way. And it's just so much fun, I gotta tell you. Honestly, never thought going into it I would really enjoy it, but it's a very, very fun game. I got about I got about a quarter into the game because obviously I was only playing it for one day. It was a friend of mine's game, so I just, you know, happened to be there while they were watching a movie and started playing the game. And I might very well actually end up picking this game up for myself because it was total fun. Plenty of good times in this game. Now, it's a total 1970s flashback also in the styles. I mean, oh my dear God, people actually had hair like that? Really, really freaky, I gotta say. I mean, you sort of hope and pray that people never look like that again. I mean, we have bad styles today, but just, oh God, so much worse back then. But I will give this game a whopping 4 out of 5, because it was so much fun, I would totally pick it up again. The movie, I'm also gonna give a 4 out of 5. Because it is so cheesy, you just love every minute of it. It's seriously one of those movies that's so bad it's good. I mean, the acting is so pathetic. I mean, everybody's got either like, everybody's either overacting or underacting. There's no in between. Everybody's either stone-faced or screaming. That's it. Now, the beginning also is absolutely classic with the "Can you dig it?" and the stuff like that. It's just amazing. So go out and buy yourself The Warriors if you're a gaming fan, because it's a heck of a lot of fun and it is absolutely worth it. Give it a shot, folks. Hi. You ever play a game and just absolutely fall in love with the soundtrack to the point where you just really, really need that game for your own? The soundtrack, that is. And you ever realize that half of those games don't actually have soundtracks that are available in the U.S.? I mean, sure, they might come out in Japan, but a lot of them don't end up coming out here in the U.S. And if they do, they're for a lot, and I mean a lot of money. I mean, you don't want to have to pay the shipping and handling costs on these babies, and you don't want to have to pay the exchange rates and the import rates on these things. I mean, there are some soundtracks that are going for $30, $40, $50 alone, and they're only like maybe 2 CDs, that's it. Thank you very much, I'll pass. So you scour the internet and you look for a site that you can go to where you'll be able to find all of these hidden gems, all of these games that you've always wanted to get the soundtrack to. And then you fall up short. And then you cry for a while. Then you get yourself a tissue. But the tissue doesn't do any good because you're crying too hard. And then your mother comes and consoles you. But you know what? Before you get to that point, I got some good news. I have found the Holy Grail. Absolutely. I have found the best damn website you can possibly find for game soundtracks. Now, I'll warn you ahead of time, it's a little slow. Possibly because of how many people that are actually downloading from this at a point. But yeah, totally, totally great experience here. Now, what's the website? I know you're dying to hear it. It's gh.ffshrine.org/soundtracks.php. Now, if you go to ffshrine.org, you can find it. Obviously, I'll link to this in the show notes. But you have... I'm looking through this list right now, and you must have hundreds of games to choose from here. From A to Z. Actually, from 1080 to Z. It's got 1080 Snowboarding original soundtrack, all the way down to Zone of the Enders original soundtrack. Just to name a couple of soundtracks offhand here, it's got Yoshi's Story, all the Virtual Fighters, all the Tekkens, all the Onimushas, all the Devil May Cries, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Back from the Sewers for the Game Boy. Wow. Got all the Tales of Destiny here, Super Mario, and it's even got some soundtracks that you would never expect to find anywhere. Example? Okay. I'll give you one. Ready for this? This one's just perfect, I gotta say. It is the Super Mario Brothers Vocal Special. Yeah. Whole bunch of Super Mario tracks with vocals behind them. And you think that's bad? Street Fighter 2 Sing! Where a whole bunch of people put vocals behind Street Fighter 2 tracks. I mean, this is all totally insane, I gotta say. I went absolutely nuts. I downloaded Onimusha 2 Orchestra Album 2 by Taro Irashiro, I believe that's how you pronounce it, or Irashiro. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. And the Onimusha 2 original soundtrack and Onimusha 3. Downloaded a couple of others also, and I'm just in absolute heaven here going through all these. You got all the King of Fighters, you've got Jet Grind, all the Suikodens. No Final Fantasies, because there's a separate site for that. But, I mean, you got everything here. Donkey Kong Country, Dragon Quest. I could name all of these, but I'd need an hour, honestly. So much fun. So any of you folks out there who have ever had a soundtrack that you could not track down or did track down and figured that you don't want to pay the $50 to actually own it, go to this website. Because who knows how long it's going to be around. Because these websites usually don't last too long. Because everybody sucks up their bandwidth. But, folks, suck up their bandwidth, please. I'm asking you. Download as much as possible here. Once again, gh.ffshrine.org/soundtracks.php. Not too hard to remember. Download to your heart's delight. Because I am so happy I found this, and I really hope you guys enjoy it. It's time for the wind-up here on Geek Speak, where I switch gears a little bit and go from tech to sports. So let's start things off here. Well, the New York Giants are officially in first place, for a week at least. Now, I'm a very skeptical guy, I gotta say. I don't usually jump on bad wagons too easily. Now, the Giants won this past week, and they won by a landslide. And great for them, I gotta say. You know, it's about time they actually stepped up and took first place. They're in first. Cowboys are in second. Things are looking pretty good. They absolutely shut out the Washington Redskins this past week. Decimated them. Took them apart. Ooh, did that feel good. But still, they won by a large amount. They should have won by even more. I'm sorry if that sounds greedy, but they should have won by even more. Because I look at the play of important figures like Eli Manning, and it was not up to snuff. It was not what you would expect from a quarterback of that caliber. He's proven himself in the past already. In this season, he's proven himself. In college, he's proven himself. But he missed so many easy plays that led to field goals in this game that should not have been field goals, that should have been touchdowns. Tiki Barber, best game of his career. Will he be able to keep it up? I don't know. Was this all just because Willington Mara died? The owner of the Giants? Is that why they did this? Or are they actually contenders? They still have to prove this to me. It's going to take a while for them to actually go out and prove this to me. I hope they come out and win this week. I hope they come out and win the next couple of weeks after that. I really do. But if they don't, I won't be too surprised, because that's what the Giants do. They win, and then they lose three in a row. That's what they've done the past couple of years. I very much hope that's not what they do this year. But if they do, like I said, I won't be too surprised. There's the wind-up. Here's the pitch. Every Monday from 2 to 3 here on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, and possibly for a little longer than that, we'll have to see. It's the Sporting Goods with Ian and Mike. My partner Michael Hornstein back with me. Also, Jason, Joey, David, the Partridge, the Pear Tree, every single person you can possibly think of on this show talking sports every single Monday. Once again, the email address here for GeekSpeak is at speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. From 6 to 7 on Thursdays, you can call in live here on Brooklyn College Radio, 718-951-4444, to talk to me, Ian Levenstein. You can send your audio comments over to speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. And of course, you can vote for me on Podcast Alley. There's a link on my website. So once again, I am Ian Levenstein. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Geek Speak, and we'll be back next week for Episode 8. So until then, have a good week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.